We are going to minister on Job's victory discoveries. Job's victory discoveries. You must remember that I grew up in church, and I've heard about everything you can hear around a church over a period of time. You'd be surprised what kids hear around churches. That's why kids don't need to hear gossip, or they don't need to hear negativisms. They need to hear faith. They'll face enough in life without negativisms. But one expression that I heard repeatedly, they said, well, you know, poor is Job's turkey. Well, the honest truth about it, I believe Job had the fattest turkeys in the world. Amen. I believe Job's turkeys were sought out all over the world because they were good turkeys, big turkeys, happy turkeys until they went to their resting place. But tonight I want to just take some time, a combination of however God lets it come out, on Job's victory discoveries. Job's discovery of victories. Victory discoveries. The Word of God tells us there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Bible goes on to tell us about his family and those that were born to him. And then it comes to verse 6 that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Haven't you made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Good testimony, Satan. And his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said, unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then the Bible tells us of the systematic effort on Satan's part to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy everything that Job had except his very life. And the Bible tells us in that same first chapter of Job, when all these things begin to come down and this great wind from the wilderness smote the four corners of the house and took his family out, and it fell upon the young men, and they're dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then, of course, enough is never enough with Satan. And so the Lord said unto Satan in the second chapter, verse 3, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. All this has happened, yet God's still bragging on Job, a perfect man, upright man, one that fears God. Oh, God, do we need that today? We need the fear of God in our nation today. One that fears God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. God didn't do it, Satan did it. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself, a piece of broken pottery. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, everything's catering. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Now, I'm not agreeing, but he wasn't seeing it like it really was, but that's the way it seemed to be. We've all said some things out of context, right? Okay? But in all of this, Job did not sin with his heart was right. He didn't see some things like they really were, but his heart was right with God. And when Job's three friends heard of, with friends like this, you need no enemies. I've heard people say, well, my best friends. Some people's biggest spiritual problem is their best friends. Anyway, here they come, and their names are a challenge to pronounce, just like they probably were an enigma. And so then they take in after Job, and it just, you know, it just goes on and on. So all this happened. And then Job finally said in verse 25, and I believe 26 of the third chapter of Job, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. In other words, I didn't ask for this, but it came. And there we see it. Now, you say, well, I thought you announced that we were going to minister on Job's victory discoveries. Job's victory discoveries. We are. We are. And I want you to notice the beginning of what we read and verses I didn't have time to read. And I want you to write them down, if at all possible. I would just strongly encourage you to write this down. Have you ever gone through something? Have you ever gone through some stuff? Have you ever gone through something you didn't understand? Have you ever gone through something you felt like, I don't deserve this? You know what? Has anything in life ever been a negative? Well, if you're breathing and if you've lived any short period of time, yes, we've all been there. And there's, I believe, for people that know the Word of God, a majority of what we faced it pretty well. Kind of like Zig Ziglar said, I believe everyone, whenever they did whatever they did, thought they did the best they could do. I don't know about the theology of that, but it does have a lot of truth to it. But please write down, because, I mean, I've been in this thing for about 3 days and several hours, and God gave me some fresh even insight before I left the house tonight. Job discovered the power of praise and worship unto God. That's one discovery he made. When all of this happened, the Bible said, going back to the first chapter, that he worshiped God. And as a pastor, I've heard it many times. Not everyone says it, but, well, I don't understand this. I tithe, I go to church, I pray, I serve God. You know, I do this, I do that. I don't understand this. We all face things we don't understand. I could call the names of some very powerful ministries who have had grave problems with their children. Grave problems. Even two or three that come to my attention right now, and I won't even go any further, but they lost their life. And lost their life not under good circumstances. And so, no matter how famous you are, however, whatever your station in life is, what I'm trying to say is, we all face some stuff that we don't quite understand. And this may be something of the past, it may be something right now, current, or it may be something you're entering into. And as believers, what the Word of God is all about is teaching us to face wherever we are and whatever is happening to us from the standpoint of the foundational truths of God's Word. I settled this a long time ago. If it comes down to it, and it's come down to it a number of times, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Amen. It was interesting, as we were in the Tampa area, they said a lot of people, I think there was something in the paper about it, but Tampa Bay drained dry. Drained dry. I mean, all the water was sucked into the clouds or the ocean or wherever the water went. And there was nothing in Tampa Bay except dry land under the water. Of course, that filled back up in a period of time. And a lot of people said, well, you know, there's been so much criticism of how God divided the sea and Israel walked across on dry land. Well, it just happened in Tampa Bay here the other day. I said, were there treasure hunters out there? They said they were afraid the water would come back and catch them, you know. But it happened. It happened, and I'm not dwelling there. But, you know, God is able. God is able. Now, here's the thing. When tragedy struck, Job discovered that he could still worship God. In the first phase of Satan coming against him, the Bible said, in all of this he sinned not, but he worshiped God. That's in the first chapter, verse 20. He worshiped. He fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. He worshiped God. That's a big discovery, believers. That's a big discovery. Amen. That's a big discovery. That's when a lot of people quit God. They quit church. They quit tithing. They turn bitter and become offended at God. But Job discovered the power of worshiping God when everything seems to be to the contrary. Thankful worshipers always come back. Thankful worshipers always come back. All right. The second thing that I saw here, although his theology was wrong, you know, he said, though God slay me, Job blessed, not cursed, the name of the Lord. He not only worshiped God, but in Job 1:21, he blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord. Hallelujah. He not only worshiped God, he blessed God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He worshiped God and he blessed God, because people like that always come back. You remember he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God permitted this to happen. But think about this just for a moment. Of all the people in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, God said there's one man that I can trust. He may get a little miffed and he may say some things he shouldn't say and he may get out of character on some things. But of all the people on the earth, he chose Job to be an example of when all hell breaks loose, you can hold steady and you can come back. Think about that. What if, no matter what you're going through, what if God said, of all the people that work in that school system, of all the people that work for that corporation, of all the people that work for Amazon, or I'm just grabbing a name, of all the people that work or that live in a certain situation, there is one woman or there is one man that I can trust no matter what happens. You can't shake them off the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I know he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Well, God's not a taker. God's a giver. But he did give permission for this to happen. But he said, take not his life. Then Job discovered that every day is not the same. In Job chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, after being so blessed, now things turn around for Job. Every day is not the same for a believer. Well, I gave 5 and I got 50 back. That doesn't happen every time. Or I gave 100 and I got 1,000 back. And that, I mean, that type of thing happens to givers. I mean, it happens. It happens in whatever denomination God determines for it to happen. But notice that every day is not the same. I mean, sometimes you come out of a glorious Sunday. Oh, dear Lord, I mean, a glorious Sunday or a glorious meeting or a glorious conference. And then it seems like all hell breaks loose. But God is still on his throne. Every day is not the same. Every day should be the same in that we worship him and bless his name and praise him. But every day is not the same. So that was another discovery that Job made. Another discovery that Job made. Victory discovery that Job made was found in Job chapter 2, verse 11. Job survived his 3 friends. I was talking to someone a while back. They said, you know, it finally dawned on me I need to change friends. Said, I get all pumped up and come to church and I get all full of victory. And said, I wondered why I couldn't hold on to that all week long. Then I realized, I don't know how many friends they had, 1 or 3. One will do you in, you know, if you listen to them. Praise God. So his 3 friends come in and they all do their organ recital, you know, of what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, Job discovered you can't let your friends get you down. Job discovered if you're going to come out on the victory side, you don't hang around people that are not in victory. Amen. Know nothing about the Word of God. You love them, you're nice to them, and if you're thrown with them, you do what you need to do, but that's not your first choice. Hallelujah. You know, Paul, the apostle in jail, he made the statement, I long to be with you. I long to be with you. This jail doesn't bother me. I have Jesus in this jail, but I long to be with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I long to be with you. Why? Because we serve the same Lord. We're going to the same place. We're born again, spirit-filled believers. So he discovered that you can't let your friends get you down. There's another discovery that Job made in the third chapter, verse 25. Job discovered that fear is a costly thief. Fear is a costly thief. What he said was accurate. The thing that I feared is come upon me. You know, every believer has to make their decision about the fears that they face. What you fear may not affect me at all. What I fear may not affect you at all. But you see, Job had to make a decision. He realized that fear had cost him. No matter how good things were, Job said, you know, this is just too good to be true. Have you ever heard someone say, it's just too good to be true? Just too good to be true. And so he discovered that fear is a costly thief. And church, I know you've heard this, and I've heard it, and I've preached it, and, you know, it's been a part of our life because we're word people. We believe the word. But fight fear with all you have. Fear is perverted faith. Fear is perverted faith. You say, well, I just can't believe like brother so-and-so believes, or I just can't believe like some people just seem to be able to believe. You're believing something. Get yourself out of reverse and put it in forward gear. Get yourself out of the gear of fear and into the gear of faith. Hallelujah. The thing that I feared has come upon me. Fear is a costly thief. Well, there's another discovery that Job made in the fourth chapter, verses 3-4, that the powerful seeds of good words. I tell you, this is just has to be one of the most awesome breakthroughs that I discovered years ago. The fourth chapter of Job, verses 3-4. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Isn't that wonderful? Thy words have upholden him that was failing. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Amen. One translation says, thy words have put men back on their feet again. I'll tell you, some people's words will knock you over. Some people's words will knock you over and knock you out if it's possible. But thy words have put men back on their feet. That's who we are. That's who we should be. That's our DNA. To a fallen humanity, we have the word that puts men and women back on their feet again. Gives them hope. Gives them help. Gives them strength and encouragement. My, thy words have put men back on their feet again. I just noticed in the paper today, Gary Patterson, the coach of TCU, listen to this quote about all this controversy that's going on. I just want us to get back to treating people right, doing the right thing. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. That was in your Morningstar telegram. If you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. That's good preaching, coach. Amen. That's real good preaching, right? Praise be unto God. I'm going to preach this again. I'm just warming up. I'm just I'm just digging out some gold here. I couldn't sit on this for a few days. I just couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Well, Job discovered the powerful seeds of good words. Words, words, words incite road rage. Words get people killed. You go into the wrong night spot and say the wrong thing, and they'll carry you out on a gurney. Amen. Words, 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 words. Well, Job discovered something else that I think is so awesome, and that's in Job, the 10th chapter, verse 1. Job discovered that you can pour out your troubled heart to God. Now, I know some people say you should never say anything, whatever, and you shouldn't. I mean, that should not be your normal conversation and what you have to say. But, you know, there's a time it's okay. It's okay just to talk to God out of your heart and say, Lord, I'm having a rough day. I need your help. I'm facing this. I'm facing that. And I don't know where else to turn. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. Job discovered you can pour your troubled heart out to God, and he still loves us. In the 10th chapter of Job, verse 12, he said, my soul is weary of my life, and you've granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. See, that's another thing that happens when we come to church. I know God can work on a flat screen TV. He can do whatever. God can do whatever he wants to do, anywhere he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. But there's something about the body coming together. We're in God's presence, and we're here for one purpose, and that is to praise and worship and to magnify the Lord and to hear the word of God. And yet there's times that our soul is weary. And he said, you've granted me life and favor. Think about that. Some of you need to write this down. That'll help you in a difficult situation. Job chapter 10, verse 12. I believe. Yeah, here it is, verse 12. And thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. I remember a mother, one of the great fears of my childhood was the pressure cooker in our kitchen. And mother would always, thank you, someone else bears witness to that also. Mother would, you know, do the canning thing, you know, with vegetables and fruit and whatever. And boy, I'll never forget one day the thing I feared came upon me. That thing, the top blew off of that thing. And I mean, I think it hit the ceiling. I know it went way up in the air and food went everywhere. And the thing I feared had come upon me, you know. I ran outside and got my collie dog and hid, you know. I thought, man, the thing I feared has come upon me. That monster's after all of us, you know. Oh, my. But, you know, after all that pressure cooker situation, she'd put it in a jar and then seal it with paraffin. And then, you put the little lid on. And I'm not telling you anything that almost all of you know and understand very well. Do you know that's what Job was talking about? You know, God seals us off with his precious Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, I felt the wind, but you didn't feel the wind you would have felt. Well, I felt a little fear, but you didn't feel the fear you could have felt. Well, I experienced, but not in the fury that it could have come. I'll tell you, God has more than that paraffin. God has more than that. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. My soul is weary of life. Yeah, we face some days like that. But thou hast given me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Well, Job chapter 19, verses 25-27, Job discovered that God is alive. God is alive. I don't know who the foolish individuals were that a few years ago, you know, there was the thing, God is dead. Oh, my. But here in the 20th chapter of Job, it said in verse 25, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Saints, we're going to see him face to face. Face to face. We're going to see him face to face. Mama, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He said, if it all goes down, I'm going up. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Job discovered that God is alive, and no matter what happens, I'm going to see God. That's my future. How about yours? Well, Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. And now the rest of the story. Some of you remember that. And now the rest of the story. Well, let me give you the rest of the story about Job. Well, you know Job, poor as Job's turkey. You know, I guess I'm just another Job. And when someone talks like that, I know they haven't read chapter 42 yet. Well, I read the book. No, you didn't. You didn't read the book if you didn't finish out on chapter 42. You're just trying to speed read something to say you did it. And now the rest of the story. In Job chapter... Hey, it's picking up now. It's picking up now. Wheels up. Job chapter 42. Job says, now I know. You know, there's a price tag to being able to say, now I know. There's a price tag to being able to say, now I know. Oh, I read. Oh, I heard. Oh, I met someone. Oh, I read a book. It's hard to lecture on Paris if you haven't been there. Amen. Listen to me, saints of God. Do you know from what little and what much I know about some of you, do you know that tonight one of the most precious things that is present in this room is that we can look up and say, now I know. I got saved and my sins were forgiven. And I got started on this road of salvation, but I didn't know much. And I stumbled and I fell and I didn't quite understand some things. And a lot of the Bible was kind of hard for me to understand. I didn't know which way to go with some certain things. But now I know. Now I know. I know. I don't think I know. I know. I tell you, the thing that breaks a pastor's heart is when you're trying to help someone and you know they're headed for a bridge out at 100 miles an hour. And you look, you plead, you weep, you beg, you do everything within your power because you're a shepherd and you care. And they just go right off the precipice. You know, when you know somebody that knows, you better listen to what they know. A lot of heartache could have been diverted. And averted. If we just listen to some folks that know what they're talking about. It's easy to pop off. I remember when I first started preaching. Man, I was full of bless God's this and bless God that. You know. And that's okay. I mean, you start off with fire and fervency. But you know, tonight, and it's not a negative. What I'm saying is not a negative. It's just from Genesis to Revelation, I know. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know God's word is true. I know God is a miracle working God. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of how things seem, I know. Now I know. God and His Word are right about everything. Are you listening to Pastor Bob Nichols? God and His Word are right about everything. God's not right 90% of the time or 99.44% of the time. Now I know God is right about everything. Everything. God and His Word are right about everything. Now I know. Here's another victory, breakthrough that happened with Job. And that is, my thought life is my control center. My thought life is my control center. Joshua 1:8 teaches us that the word of the Lord shall dwell within us, in our minds, on our lips. Started to turn. I still may turn there. Joshua 1:8, Philippians 4:8, and Proverbs 23:7 teach us that as a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so are they. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, why'd you say it? Where'd it come from? Amen. Praise God. My thought life is my control center. That's why I need to watch my control center. You know, I've heard people that have some understanding of Navy. I don't in the mechanical part of it. Just can't understand how two ships with all the modern equipment and surveillance and all the things that are available today could have a collision just out in sky blue waters. It's just crazy. You see what I mean? You see, the control center, somebody wasn't over the control center. Somebody wasn't doing their duty in the control center for victory and success in life. You see, both our thoughts, I preached this Sunday morning, both our thoughts and our words determine our destiny. Our thoughts and our words determine our destiny. Job, victory breakthroughs here. You see, both our thoughts, I want to say it again, both our thoughts and our words determine our destiny. Got to hurry up here because I want to finish just a few others very quickly here. Godly thoughts and words and experiences produce a holy boldness and confidence. Godly thoughts, words, and experiences produce a holy boldness and confidence. Amen. Praise God. I know what it is. 44 seconds to lose everything you've worked for years and years and years. Our church was gone. Our school was gone. Our Christian school was gone. Our Bible college was gone. Our bookstore was gone. Our prayer center was gone. Everything was gone in 44 seconds. 44 seconds. 44 seconds. Think about that. 44 seconds. It's all gone. But you see, we know the rest of the story, that we're still here. We know. I love that third chapter of Acts when the man was walking and leaping and praising God, going into the temple. And they knew. And they knew. They knew he was the man that had been at Gate Beautiful. And they knew that he was about 40 years old. And they knew that he indeed was crippled. And they knew that a notable miracle had taken place. And they knew. It's hard to handle somebody who really knows the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Stay right in your heart, your spirit, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Stay right in your heart, your spirit, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, it's interesting that God, it came to a certain place where God said, okay, everybody shut up. This man has come through this thing. In my estimation, I'm going to give him a passing grade. I'm going to give Job a passing grade. And I'm going to tell you what. All the rest of you characters, you bring him a present. You come and encourage him. And you bring him some gold. All you characters. All you characters. It says all. All. Oh, thank God. All. And they all came. And Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friends. Man, that was an humbling experience. Job, we thought you must have sinned or you must have been doing something, you know, and we didn't know anything. You know, Job, we just... I'm sorry we blame you, but you, Job, forgive us, pray for us, here's some gold. That'll bring forgiveness real quick, you know. Bring some gold. Amen. Well, praise God. I just saw a little humor in that. All right. But you know, God is still the God of the double. Because the Bible tells us in that 42nd chapter. Now, I could say this a lot more forcefully than I am, but I'm trying to get the truth over to us tonight. The Bible said also every man gave him a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. More than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 donkeys. And he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that his daughters were the fairest in the land. That's what the Bible says. You say, I didn't think God ever noticed things like that. Yeah, God's pretty sharp, you know. God said his daughters were the sharpest in the land. Beautiful. And in all the land, no women were found as fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And you know, after all of this, when it looked like everything was gone, he had lost everything, he was going to die. His wife said, curse God and die. I mean, it just looked like God had pulled down the window shade on everything in Job's life. He lived 140 years. And some say it lasted a year. Some say it lasted 2 years. But it seems like it lasted about a year. When you're going through it, it seems like 100 years. But he lived 140 years. And all this good thing happened. So, you see, the best really is yet to come. You say, where do you get that, Pastor? Well, now, let's look at it this way. God, out of all the people in the Bible, gave us a scenario of a man that lost everything, his health, despairing in his mind, his emotions, his family. I mean, everything. Everything seemed to just crater on this man. Yet, in the midst of it all, God brought him out and God brought him through. So if God can take a man by the name of Job and with everything that happened to Job and bring him out and bring him through with twice as much as he had before and extend his life, God is saying, I want to bless you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Long life. I believe his kids were serving God. That first set weren't doing real well. In fact, they were party, party, party animals. but his kids are serving God. And the Bible said Job died old and full. Old and full. Now, unless you're above 30, that really probably doesn't register with you. He died old and full. I appreciate that, Lord. Old and full. Because God is the God of the double. Praise God. And you know, the thing that really touches my heart, he says there, not only I know, but he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes have seen thee. I heard, but now I see. Nothing is impossible with God. My thought life is my guidance center. Blessed with twice as much. Oh, thank God. Twice as much. More than twice as much. And after this, Job lived 140 years. Old and full. Hallelujah. Old and full. Hallelujah. A full life. Full life. Full life. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, don't worry about it. It won't happen for you. What do you got to lose? Just go along with this message tonight. What have you got to lose? Just play like I'm telling you the truth. And read your Bible for yourself and say, the man really did tell us the truth, even if it was Wednesday night. He told us the truth on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. He preached and he taught a conference message, a Sunday morning message, a Sunday night message, a conference message on a Wednesday night. And it's true. I heard. But now I know. Now I know. Now I know. Now I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet if you will. Praise God, praise God. Get anything out of God's word tonight? Old and full. I heard. But now I know, I have seen, I have seen.